Music session number 10430, Reel 4.
Major Guns in Reel 4?
Yes, we put them in Bangkok jail, and shortly afterwards we were transferred up to Lop Buri. Somebody else took over. And in December, from Lop Buri, I went back to Rangoon and shipped home on the old Derbyshire via the Suez Canal, and came back to South Wales borders in Breconshire, where I was demobbed.
Could I just ask you about the attitude of your sepoys to the INA?
Ah, well, now you've got a very awkward subject. Yes. The INA, of course, in India after the war, I don't know the attitude of our sepoys to the INA. I think they would say they were traitors and they would kill them. And we did meet them quite a bit in central Burma, not my battalion particularly, but I know the 4th, 15th had quite a battle with the INA, but they were very quick to surrender. Whereas the Japanese never surrendered. The INA just put their hands up as soon as they could and surrendered. But of course, once they got back to India, you had this awful problem that to the Congress Party, they were the heroes who were in fact defeating the British and getting the British out of India, and that was why they'd done it. And to the British and to the Indian Army, they were traitors. And so they started off by trying to court-martial some of them, and then found this was all going to be too much of a problem, and the whole thing was quietly dropped after Chandra Bose disappeared. And I think now, to India, they're considered to be heroes. But they were, of course, coerced into the Japanese army, and those who stood out in Singapore had a pretty tough time.
What do you think was the motivation for the sepoys fighting so hard on behalf of the British against the Japanese?
Well, I think it's really simply tradition going back over three centuries of being mercenaries for the British Raj, and they'd fought in World War One, and there they were being told to go and fight the Japanese. They no particular reason to hate the Japanese, but they were a well-trained mercenary army.
And yet some of them would go far beyond the call of duty, wouldn't they, and actually attack Japanese foxholes and win VCs and so on. One imagines that there's something a bit more to it to make a man do something like that.
Well, that seems fair comment. And if it was so, I'm afraid I really don't know what would motivate them. It certainly wasn't the amount of pay that they got, which was minimal. It's just that they are martial people. I think at the partition of India, they probably showed that when Hindus started to fight Muslims. That they are martial people, and if they get roused, they're prepared to kill each other still.
How much effect did Japanese psychological tactics have, the so-called jittering tactics?
Oh, yes, quite an effect, especially at the beginning of the war, because you would hear the Japs shouting, Tikai Bai, British soldiers, no good, and all this type of thing down below in the jungle. And they would do anything that they could to make you show your particular position, where your trenches were. And we had a tremendous lot of training to try and resist this sort of thing. But I'm well aware that new battalions in the line have been known actually to fight each other all night and expend all their ammunition shooting at each other because they've been frightened by jitters in the night.